Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. It's Sunday, October 4th, 2009. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode number 6. I've got a lot of stories to cover, only a couple of which are disability-related, I'm sorry to say this time, and I will go through those first, although I will try and scatter some comments throughout the rest of the episode which relate to accessibility. This first story really concerns a website. It's not designed specifically for those with disabilities, but it is maintained to provide people who, for one reason or another, cannot find the text of the healthcare bills currently in front of Congress, don't have time to read it and evaluate it for themselves. It provides a way for people to do that. This site contains sound files. They are read by a variety of voice actors, and it includes the entire text of all of the healthcare-related legislation before Congress at the moment. We get so much media coverage, a lot of us know very little about what is inside this healthcare bill. This site provides a way to find out. You can listen to the bill virtually anywhere rather than having to take time and sit down and read it. I haven't actually tried listening to it. I'm afraid that I'll fall asleep, but I know that it is there if I do choose to find out more about certain sections of it. It is divided into sections, which makes it easy to navigate. I'll move on now to my product of the week. This actually, again, is not a product specifically designed for those with disabilities, but it is a product that partially sighted individuals in particular will probably enjoy very much. If you have an iPhone, that is. This product is called Eyeglasses. I thought it was going to be spelled Eyeglasses, but it actually is spelled EYE. You can purchase it from the iPhone App Store. It was developed by Freeverse, and it costs about $3. And what this application does is, if you hold the iPhone next to some small print text, it can blow the text up to 8 times its original size. I don't know of anyone who has tried this. It does sound like an interesting application, and I hope that people will get some use out of it. We now move to the release of JAWS 11 public beta. JAWS is a screen reader for Windows that helps blind people navigate the Windows environment. Only those with version 10 can run the public beta on an unlimited basis. Those with earlier versions, I have version 9 for instance, can run the public beta in 40-minute demonstration mode. But it will still give us an opportunity to test out some of the new features in the public beta that are going to be available in JAWS 11. One of these, people are very excited about it, is called Research It. What this will do is, if you are on a word or phrase on the screen, usually a word, you can look it up. You can look up its definition with Wiktionary. You can look up further things about it using Wikipedia. And there are some other widgets that you can look up things on other sites. It's supposed to be very fast and responsive. I have not really tested the public beta as of yet. Another new feature is improved ARIA support for dynamic websites, so sites such as Facebook or YouTube with a lot of dynamic content, even some Google sites, will be better supported with JAWS 11. And there are some other new features which I won't go into here. And if everything works out and they time the release to coincide with the release of Windows 7, those of us who have ordered both will be flying high. It'll be like Christmas. Something bad is happening in Microsoft land. Bing! We talked about a month ago or so, and its market share was just going way up. As with anything, people started using it, and the novelty is wearing off, and it's fallen. It was at 9-point-something%, almost 10%, I believe, in August, and it's now fallen to 8.5%, and Google has gained 3%, moving from 77 to 80%. So I guess, Bing, the honeymoon's over with. But I'm just not sure that in the long run it's going to have enough advantages to gain much more of a market share than it already has. Of course, Microsoft could make more developments and enhancements to Bing, and I could be completely wrong. You always have the good with the bad. There is something good coming out of Microsoft this week. Microsoft has released a free malware detection program. It is called Microsoft Security Essentials. It works on Windows 7, Windows XP, and Windows Vista operating systems. It's been out in beta since June, I think, but only been released to the public this week. It, to some extent, will replace AVG and other free malware detection systems. I think this will kind of offset the market a little bit in favor of Microsoft once people start using it. It's very user-friendly, so I hear. I have not tested it. I will, you know, report back on its accessibility when I do test it. Well, as far as I'm concerned, however effective they are, the more security programs out there, the better. There was a report released by Panda that malware has gone up 15% just in the month of September. The ratio of PCs around the world that have been infected with malware rose to 59%. The United States had one of the highest ratios of infected PCs, about 58%. In the US, Trojans and adware were the most persistent forms of malware, followed by worms and viruses. This just proves that hackers are becoming more and more sophisticated. Due to the prevalence of social networking, they're able to hook these Trojans, these malware nasties, onto news stories, and these news stories are spread through social networks, and so more and more people pick them up. And contributing to this, maybe more than that, there's been a huge increase of Trojans aimed at stealing user data on banking websites. There's malware everywhere, folks, and it's now infiltrated Facebook. There are literally thousands of profiles, according to an AVG study done recently. AVG gathered information from those users of its products, of its malware detection products, and determined that there are thousands of these fake profiles out there on Facebook, specifically designed to get information, to get credit card information from people, and to install malware on their computers. These profiles, the pictures are all the same people, but they have slightly different names and birth dates. And if you go into these profiles and you click on this home video link, it installs malware on your computer that tries to collect your personal information. AVG officials also believe that these profiles are automated, that they are created by a computer. And this means that, unfortunately, somebody somewhere has figured out a way for a computer to crack CAPTCHA-solving requirement. CAPTCHAs, of course, are put on websites to ensure that only humans can access them, but, of course, ultimately a lot of them can be cracked. CAPTCHA is regarded by most blind people as a necessary evil. We have to deal with it on many websites, but most CAPTCHAs are visual. Those websites that do have audio CAPTCHA, it might as well be visual sometimes for all the sense it makes. Facebook has not given any idea what their solution to this will be, but to me the most obvious solution will be to make CAPTCHAs more difficult, and this will cause yet more difficulty in getting these solved the way we need to. Like I said, take the good with the bad. Twitter is launching a new feature soon. It is called Lists, and this differs from, you've got lists of your followers. People can look at your profile and see your followers, but this feature allows you to create lists of Twitter accounts related to a specific topic. So, for example, I could create a list of Twitter accounts specifically related to politics, let's say, and put them up there. By the way, I will state that Twitter is going to open this up to in its API so that Twitter clients can take advantage of this. So hopefully we'll be able to use this feature without having to go to the Twitter website. I hope that client developers will take advantage of this. But there are also, of course, as we know, some concerns about texting, especially while driving. A new story this week. There is increasing evidence that texting while driving is detrimental to truckers. While driving, truckers are, according to one study, 23 more times likely to crash than when they are not texting. In an effort to remedy this, some companies have installed actual computer screens into trucks so that truck drivers can view a screen while driving instead of trying to view a small cell phone. However, a lot of people think this can be just as distracting. There is a provision in place in most of these cases that the trucker, in order to use the computer, has to pull over. But, as some commented, no one ever does. This still makes truckers more likely to crash. The same study said it made them 10 times more likely to crash. This is better than 23, but still not a good thing. The federal government wants texting for truckers to be banned while they're driving. They urge states to issue such a ban, or the states will no longer be entitled to federal highway money. There is a conference going on this week that will further discuss these matters. This conference, held by the National Transportation Department, was held on Wednesday and Thursday. It was called the Distracted Driving Conference. Not only did it discuss this issue of truckers texting, but it also put in place a ban on federal employees texting while driving. That was one of the results of this conference. This will impact about 4.5 million federal workers. The trucker ban hasn't been put in place yet. It's going to be a more nuanced. It does not discuss how they will be enforced. So that, of course, is an issue open for debate and discussion right now, I suppose. My guess is it will be rather difficult to enforce. Something also difficult to enforce would be the criminalization of cyberbullying. It's a delicate issue. It happens more often than we'd like to think. People harassing each other via social networks, via emails, any of these types of avenues, happens more often than we'd like to think, and two committees in the House of Representatives are currently discussing bills to deal with it. This isn't the federal government level. One bill is aimed at criminalizing it. A lot of experts believe that this would be difficult to do, and that efforts would be better spent trying to educate people about cyberbullying, what its consequences would be socially, and ways to prevent it in the first place. These bills were debated in front of the House Judiciary Committee. It is not clear which one of them will succeed. Lastly, and who says bloggers don't have an effect on the affairs of the nation? We all know the phrase used in blogs and Twitter and on other sites, WTF. I think we all know what that means. There is an organization called the Wisconsin Tour Federation, or at least that was what it was called. People in their blogs are making jokes about the name, WTF, about the acronym. They decided that they were going to change it. They hated being joked about, and they are now called the Tourist Federation of Wisconsin. They didn't want the name to detract from their mission. They're dedicated to showing people the sites in Wisconsin that are tourist-worthy, the things there to do, and they did not want the jokes about their name to detract from their serious purpose. This is the way they felt they could remedy that. Now here's hoping that TFW doesn't chance to mean something in the near future. This is the end of our sixth episode. Thank you for listening, and have a great day. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com, or you may leave a voice message at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. Please visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.